Listen, I am honored to have been asked by your pastor and my pastor, our pastor, Reverend Dr. Nathaniel J. Wood, to offer just a few remarks today on behalf of veterans of New Providence Missionary Baptist Church here in Fuquay. I affirm to you all, I didn't want to swear, the Bible tells us not to swear, but I promise you that not too very many, many years ago, I was so extremely shy and reserved, introverted, that there was no way you could have been able to convince me to get up here and speak to a crowd or a congregation. Yeah. So what you're witnessing this morning is the result of a small piece of my 20 years of service in the United States Air Force, where they develop you to be a leader and a public speaker when necessary. Now, I assure you that I'm not the wisest, the brightest, the highest ranking, or any other military superlative that would make me worthy of this honor. Hold this mic. But when Pastor Wood called me a few weeks back and asked me if I would give a few words, I stuttered and stammered and delayed him for a few minutes. But ultimately, I knew that I needed to accept his request and launch an effort that I've discussed already with a few other veterans here at the church about how we can educate and uplift some of these young people who have no clue as to where a military career can take you. There's just far too much riding on some of this information for a few young people I've come into contact with in the past year or so that I pray this message reaches this morning. So young people, this message is for you primarily. And by young, I mean 25 years old and under. Recently, that age restriction has been up to 30 plus years of age to join a few branches of the military. And that number tends to fluctuate from time to time, depending on the size of our volunteer force and on how well recruiting has been going recently. Obviously, if the age restriction is raised, then volunteering and recruiting numbers are probably down. Sure thing. Thank you, Fred.
He's going to turn the mouse off.
All right. So, yeah, if the age restriction has been raised, then volunteering and recruiting numbers are probably down, and the military is in dire need to bring in some young folks pretty quickly. Parents with young folks who are either at or nearing high school graduation, please listen up for just a few minutes. Now, typically, whenever joining the military is mentioned, people tend to naturally think of rifles and bullets and fighting.
That's right.
Young people coming back home in coffins.
Yeah.
Parents get worried and scared and say, oh, no, not my baby. Well, let me tell you that the Vietnam days of fighting wars and hundreds and thousands of young kids dying is over. That's behind us. Know that wars aren't fought that way anymore unless it involves a lot of territory seizing that contains jungle and brush and trench warfare fighting. Have you all seen the commercials recently where there's this young person who's performing work in line with his or her military duty? And then the scene switches back to the current time where the parent is standing there asking the child, are you sure you want to do this? Yeah. And so the child answers, yeah, mom, yeah, dad, I'm sure. And they're doing those for all the different branches, right? Navy, Army, Air Force, so and so. And so take a look at these pews here. Y'all saw all of the military folks lined up here. And I hope to convince you this morning that the military is not necessarily a bad thing for your child, because it can actually launch your child into a lifestyle of abundance, or at least plenty, and definitely a place of position if they keep their proverbial noses clean.
Amen.
I'll speak about a few more perks in just a little bit. Now recognize that the military TV recruiting commercials have a tendency to show nothing but the glamour type jobs of the military, the pilots and the Rangers, the Green Berets, and the SEAL Team 6. But you should also know that there's some regular, everyday type jobs, electricians, plumbers, IT specialists, carpenters, civil engineering, power production specialists, warehouse specialists, load masters, jet engine mechanics, crew chiefs, fuel specialists that I did for 10 of my 20 years, and then contract specialists, which I did for the last 20 years, where you spend money. You spend your taxpayers' money. Yeah. You get to see where a lot of that tax money goes.
That's right.
Yeah. In the Air Force, we had a civil engineering unit known as Red Horse. And one of their responsibilities was to pre-deploy during a soon-to-be conflict with other team members and begin setting up tents and connecting HVAC units for the troops that would soon be arriving. This is typically overseas. Let me get my place holder. Several jobs and careers that you can easily learn right here at Wake Tech. But this way, instead of you paying for the training, you get paid to get trained. But have you ever heard someone say, that was the best decision I ever made, or that has been the best decision of my life? It's the same difference, right?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you this morning that my decision in December of 1983 to join the Air Force remains the second best decision I've ever made. And it was second only to my giving my life to the Lord Jesus Christ just over 2 years earlier in 1981. Indulge me for just a few minutes while I talk to you about God's providence and attempt to show you how he directs paths as he says he will do in Proverbs chapter 3. As I also explain to you what led me emotionally to join the Air Force via delayed enlistment in 1983. What could I possibly have to say this morning, especially and primarily to our young people, that would have them busting down the back door of this church in order to get to a recruiter's desk and serve in the military? Well, let's take a quick look at something the scriptures might have to say about an aspect of serving in the Army. They called it the Army back then because they hadn't quite studied war as intricately and precisely as we have today. So they didn't have the other branches called the Navy and the Marines and the Coast Guard. And God forbid, the mightiest, most awesome, well-trained, and capable Air Force in the world, the United States Air Force. Now, some of these others here will attempt to tell you something different about the use of and the need for the Air Force. Some of their jokes are rather cute and clever, but I typically shut them down by asking them, have you ever tried fighting a war without the Air Force? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you? Have you thought about it? Go ahead. Give it a try. We'll wait. And as I watch their expressions change, I remind them how they can't do what they do unless we do what we do. If the Air Force doesn't do what it does, then they're just sitting ducks for our enemies. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not a competition. We are one team when it comes to protecting the nation. But when it comes to a friendly, verbal, sparring competition, it's typically just that. Friendly, jovial, and kidding sort of competition, because we all recognize that we all are on the same team.
That's right.
Just as with a football team, you have the offense, you've got the defense, and you have the special teams that's utilized to give you better field position. So it is with our military branches that we all have special objectives, responsibilities, and missions. And it sort of works that way as well with our varying military branches. The Air Force kicks off, for lack of a better word, by clearing the skies. We must clear and take total command of the skies so that our ground forces can do what they do. Allow the Marines to launch a ground assault and then prepare for a sustained land battle from the Army if necessary.
Yep.
For the enemy's military personnel that think that they might want to swim away from the battle, well, we then have the Navy to take care of our residuals and light work. And I'm joking with that remark, but but seriously, y'all, the Navy is able to launch short and long range laser guided missiles from the sea or ocean with uncanny precision. The SEAL Team 6 that killed Osama bin Laden were a part of the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And for the record, for those of you that don't know, it's just a very small percentage of people in the Air Force that actually fly jets or planes. Not everyone in the Air Force is a pilot. Not by a long shot. My estimate would be around 1% to 5% of the Air Force are actually pilots. The rest of us primarily work support-type jobs that help to launch those planes in the air. And I can't tell you how many times I get asked when I wear my baseball-style Air Force cap if I was a pilot. So turn with me real quick to the book of Judges. Would you look at chapter 7, verses 1 through 7. I'd like to show you a little something. This is God talking to Gideon. And he says to Gideon, you have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me that my strength has saved me. Now, I want you to think about what God just told Gideon and then weigh that against the attitudes of so many of our so-called first world developed countries today in terms of recruits, with the exception of China. The battle nowadays is about having the most nuclear warheads than it is about having the most troops to fight. The book of Revelation speaks in chapter 9 of a country that will have a 200 million man fighting force during the earth's final battle. Biblical prophecy scholar Hal Lindsey of the late great Planet Earth fame says that according to the earth's population, the numbers tell us realistically that only China will be able to field an army that size. I want you all to think about something else real quick, and this is kind of off the cuff. I want you to think about the balance of power around the world. We're led to believe that Korea, North Korea, China, Russia, those are all our enemies. They're superpowers, right? Because they have nuclears, right? Can you imagine if they didn't exist, what kind of world this would be?
That's right.
That's right.
What our country would probably be doing. And so there's this balance going on that they're supposed to be the bad guys, our enemies. But imagine if they weren't there to check what the United States has the potential to do.
That's correct.
We love our country, but we don't support wrong.
Right.
So I want you to consider this scripture from the book of Judges. This is God talking to Gideon. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead."
Right.
So 22,000 men left,
right,
while 10,000 remained.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men.
Uh-huh.
Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out for you there.
Mm-hmm.
And if I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say this one shall not go with you, he shall not go."
Mm-hmm.
So Gideon took the men down to the water, and there the Lord told him, "Separate those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink."
Mm-hmm.
300 of them drank from cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. And the Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands."
Yep.
"Let all the others go home."
Yes.
So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and the trumpets of the other ones,
yes,
of the others. And so I wanted to add as the part of the title of my message this morning, "Lap Like a Dog."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you're considering the military, lap like a dog. A couple of points I want you to take from this scripture are, and there's just two. Number one, there's a need for an army. Army and militaries are not a bad thing to have. And unfortunately, yes, they're necessary. And then number two, the need to screen who should and should not be in that army, because not everyone is fit enough or qualified to serve in the army.
That's right.
They just don't have the heart for it, and some know it up front. They know themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Observe how 22,000 of them immediately turned around and went back home when given the chance, because they knew themselves. "Nah, dog, this ain't for me. This ain't my cup of tea." Mm-hmm. Now, some of these sharp veterans here, they'll tell you, that's what boot camp is for, is to whip you into shape for military service and make you fight ready.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I tend to partially agree with that. It is true to a point. But if you know in your heart of hearts that military service is not for you, then I suggest that there are tons of other ways to serve and support your country and government.
Yep.
The five military branches all fall under the jurisdiction and command of the Department of Defense, headquartered at the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia. However, there are tons of other departments and careers available with the U.S. federal government. And the next time you get a chance, Google the makeup and structure of the federal government of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll observe energy, education, transportation, EPA, NASA, BIA, which is Bureau of Indian Affairs, Homeland Security, which didn't exist until 2001 with the 9/11 attacks, right? Brand new department. Jobs, six-figure jobs. for the heads of those departments. And now you'll understand why some of these politicians, Robert Kennedy Jr. and folks like that, want to attach themselves. They'll switch parties if necessary and do all this maneuvering and stuff like that to get in favors with who they think might win the election. These jobs pay hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yeah. So a brief personal history for all of the young men and women who either have or are still considering the military as a career. This is just my own personal assessment and a view of how it all worked out and came together. The young people take these words from me this morning to be a PSA. Y'all know what a PSA is. It's a public service announcement. I want you to forget everything you've ever been told about military service unless you've heard it from someone who's actually served. And if they have served, your first question to them should be, did you receive an honorable discharge? If they tell you no, then you need to find a reason to excuse yourself and seek out one of these other soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen, Coasties, or Space Force guardians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To get the information that you want to know. And before you reach out, I need you to do one more thing. Just make sure they weren't a recruiter in a former life. Because a recruiter will sell you the ocean when
yes,
you
sir.
Join the Navy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Sure will.
That's another joke. It's not that bad. So a little pre-military circumstances for myself, a little background. I'll tell you why I joined the Air Force. Y'all ever notice sometimes the consistency in God's creation? And specifically, I'm talking about this male mentality or mindset and attitude about a few things. Life in general, if you will. For example, let's take a look at lions. You ever notice with lions how a young male lion will always come along and try to force the older male lion out from his pride? That's because when he wants to take over the pride and have all of the rights and privileges that come with leading a pride, they'll fight to the death if necessary until the younger lion wins and takes over the pride, or the older lion wins and retains his pride. We see this behavior in so many other species as well. You'll see it with elephants and giraffes and so forth. Well, humans are a little bit like that too. So stay with me. I promise I'll tie this together in just a few more minutes. Our human fathers will sometimes allow their daughters to stay at home a few more years into adulthood than he will his sons, because he worries about his daughters a little bit more than he does his boys. But typically at some point, dad wants his boys to become and express manhood and step out into this big old world and create families of their own. Mm-hmm. It's synergetic or consistent what God has done throughout creation. And so at one point back in the early 80s, my dad carried me and my three brothers, just the boys, down into the basement of his house. And he had a talk with us. And I remember it clearly. It was a Sunday. I remember it so vividly because he was still in his church suit. It must have been something that had been on his mind for a minute, because so he got home from church. I want y'all to come down here with me for a minute. So his conversation was brief. I'm the second oldest boy, so you know, like I said, there was four of us. But his conversation was brief because children back then weren't allowed to talk back. And our dad was one of those big, strong men. I mean, he wasn't obese. He wasn't fat or heavy or anything like that. Just a big, strong man. Craig Humphrey Strong. Yeah. But he was one of those strong men, one of the guys that all the rest of the young men in the community coming up behind him wanted to test their strength and their manhood against. He was the barometer of manhood for them. And so he took me and my brothers down into the basement, and he said to us, "Me and your mom are getting up in age, and I just want you boys to know that if any time either of you think you're going to come up in here and disrespect us and mistreat us, I want you to know that I've got something for you." And we knew what he meant. Messed me up, y'all, emotionally. Because I had always, always loved my parents dearly and would never have thought about mistreating them. But I was angry back then. I was carrying a little bit of anger and just feeling some kind of way. And I was angry about my dad working me and my brothers as hard as he did, because there were several high school sporting events and after the game activities that I was not able to participate in or attend because we were always working. He mowed lawns in the spring and summer and raked leaves in the fall in the wealthy neighborhoods of Wilkes County. Our father was the precursor to all of these lawn maintenance companies y'all see riding around all over the place nowadays. But God spoke to my heart one day while we were out mowing lawns. And on a very hot summer day in the 80s, I was feeling some kind of way, a little perturbed, if you will. And I looked across this yard we were mowing at the time at my father, and I was questioning why we had to work so hard. And I could see that he was starting to get up in age, because he was sweating profusely, but just going about his business of getting his yard mowed and collecting his pay. He wasn't the same young man I had recalled from years earlier when he and other black men there in Wilkes County had formed this local baseball team, and they would travel from town to town and play against these neighboring teams. But right then and there, God spoke to my heart, and he said to me, "Bud, your father loves you, and your brothers and your sisters and your mother. He's working to support you guys because he loves you all just that much. And he's working like this because he and his generation didn't have all of the opportunities that you and your brothers and sisters have. He's not a highly educated man. He's doing the best he can with what he's been given." Y'all, from that moment on, I found a new love and appreciation for my father that I tried to show him every chance I got until he passed just over 6.5 years ago. He was a good man with an awesome heart, and I'm oh so proud to be standing here today wearing his name. And so I share that short story with you to say that I believe that around that time was when God began to shape and change the direction of my life. You see, to repent and turn your life around, some folks will say that you do a complete 360-degree turnaround. But if you do a 360-degree turnaround, you're headed in the same direction you were before. So God turned my feet 180 degrees. My feet, my life, 180 degrees. And I began to see life through different lenses. Not too very long after that, this young lady ticked me off at my day job at the Tyson's Holly Farms chicken processing plant there in Wilkesboro that I knew I had to get out of town. I literally said to myself, "I can do better than this. I'm dealing with some small minds. I can do better." And off to the Air Force recruiter I went. Now, if you've ever seriously thought about joining the military, you know that there's something called the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery Test. They call it the ASVAB. Yep. That measures knowledge in what used to be four general areas: electrical, mechanical, mathematics, and then there's a general category. I understand that it now measures anywhere from 8 to 10 general areas, which I assume you can attribute to the invention and or improvement of so many varying technologies and social media platforms that have been invented since the 80s. I didn't consider myself to be overly strong in any of those areas I mentioned, but my overall score was good somehow. So my recruiter calls me up, and he asked me if I would consent to retesting. His exact words were, "We don't think you cheated, but we want to see if you can score that high again. We want you to take what we call a verification test." He told me that he'd only had one other person, a guy in Statesville, to score that well before, so he wanted me to retest. And so I did retest, and my overall score went from a 93 to a 91. Great score, right? But somehow I still ended up in what they call an open general career field. Basically, my job was refueling aircraft in all sorts of weather and at all times of the day, to include weekends, which was the line of work I was assigned to. And it dawned on me about 5 years into my career that what I had probably experienced was a little bit of sudden, subtle, or hidden racism, in that they were surprised that I, a young black kid in my early 20s from the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains in North Carolina, could score that well on the ASVAB.
Yep, that's right.
Now, several of my high school classmates had joined the Army years earlier, and none of them stayed in, so I figured I'd try something different, especially after speaking with a couple of them. I also got encouraged from my brother-in-law, Effley, who had, you know, was 3 years ahead of me. He joined the Navy and done a stint, 4 years, I believe. And he told me one day, as we were walking across the campus of A&T State University in Greensboro, to always remember that I did not make a mistake by signing up. I never forgot that conversation, and I reminded him of that when he and my sister came to Hawaii for my retirement 20 years later. And that was 20 years ago, so... We're talking a span here now of 40 years, y'all. Another young fellow who was a year behind me in high school but had already enlisted in the Air Force 3 years before, He wrote me a letter and informed me of what to expect when I got to boot camp. He essentially told me that the training instructors, the TIs, job was to try to stress me and my squadron members out to the point of mentally breaking, of reaching a point that I decided I didn't want to continue with the training. And if you think about it, you'll observe that that's what all of the military boot camps attempt to do.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Also observe that the more glamorous the job you're seeking, whether you want to be an officer or a pilot or a ranger, Green Beret, SEAL Team 6, the more rigorous and strenuous and longer the training.
Yeah.
All of the military branches want the best of the best for those types of jobs. Why? Simply because the nation's national security depend on them. The rewards for those types of jobs are on the other side of your career training, where once you've passed the rigorous training, your leadership training in supervising and managing people begin. You'll later on in your career be sent to professional military education training schools, some that last for weeks or months at a time, to learn the art and skill of managing people in order to get the mission done. And if you're bright and blessed enough, with the right assignments, you'll be given security clearances that will allow you access to secret or top secret information. And so as I start to wind down here, I want to run down and give you just a sample of a few places I was blessed to visit and live during my 20 years in the Air Force. I started out in Anderson Air Force Base in Guam. It's a B-52 base, a bomber base, let's say, because I don't know if the B-52s are still operational, but it's a bomber base, strategically placed out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, Polynesian Islands. Mm-hmm. I went from there down here to Pope Air Force Base in Fayetteville, or Vietnam as they called it. Mm-hmm. 2.5 years down there, from there to Korea, the Republic of South Korea for a year. And from there I went to Simbach Air Base in Germany, which was an electronic wing. They had jammers, EC-130 jammers. And during that time, I was able to tour Amsterdam, the Netherlands, and I visited, they had the Tulip Festival going on, real pretty Tulip Festival, cheese-making factories all over the place. Paris, France, to include the Eiffel Tower. I was able to climb the Eiffel Tower, look all around northeast, south, and west of Paris. And I was also stationed in Germany when the Gulf War of 1990-91 broke out. I was deployed to Turkey. Turkey is Asia Minor, as referred to in the New Testament. From there, I went down to Tyndall Air Force Base in Florida. I had 3 squadrons of training fighter jets, where I eventually changed career fields out of refueling and got into contracts. And then from there, I went to Hickam Air Force Base in Hawaii, where I did my last 7 years. While in Hawaii, I redeployed back to Turkey for the second time, but in a different field, and I was able to tour on weekends and take in all of the biblical sites that I've shared with our Sunday school class. My son, who's 31 years old at the time, now was just 5 years old then, so that's the reason I took the deployment, so I could go spend some time with him. But I was blessed upon my retirement from the Air Force in 2004 to find employment with a small company providing acquisition support to the Pentagon's Pentagon renovation program to repair the damage from 9/11 attack where the plane had hit the building. I was allowed to walk the halls of the Pentagon and take in all of the national, international, and diplomatic history along the various military branch walls. Stuff that was happening when I was a teenager and too young to readily care about stuff like that. Names and events like Vietnam and Richard Nixon and Watergate, Henry Kissinger, Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean. Mm-hmm. All of this U.S. history started coming back to me, and I remembered it was on the TV news or in the newspapers of the mid-70s and 80s. Interesting stuff. And I began to read of some of it and catch up on my recent U.S. political history. So, as I said, I was on delayed enlistment for 6 months. I signed up in December of 83, but I didn't actually go in until June. And as I was attempting to avoid drilling in the cold weather months, but San Antonio, Texas, in the wintertime is different, y'all. Mm-hmm. I arrived in San Antonio on June the 7th of 84. Needless to say, it was hot. And with boot camp being 6 weeks, we were well into August before we graduated. Some of the days were so hot that we were not allowed to drill. And those were what they called red flag days. Anyway, in closing, you should know that this is a career that can definitely cost you your life. I can't tell you that depending on your job or assigned career choice that you won't see combat.
That's right.
But should you decide to make the military a career, then you should know that with our nation's propensity for war, very rare is the service member that can make it to retirement without being deployed for a conflict somewhere around the globe.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you do decide to enlist, Enlist with a plan to do one or all of the following. Travel. Travel the world while serving.
Yep.
See other cultures, meet some wonderful people, enjoy other cultures' food, all on your Uncle Sam's dime.
Yes, sir.
It's free. You can see the world for free.
That's right.
Get your education.
Yep.
All on the government's dime as well.
Yes.
Either while on active duty or via the Montgomery GI Bill. Convert your military job. If you decide not to stay in, convert your military job into a federal government, civil service, or civilian contractor position that will pay you nearly double what your military salary is.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Earn benefits that will provide you with a 100% finance mortgage when you purchase your home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then make lifelong friends that will become closer than some family members.
That's right.
Enjoy camaraderie that lasts a lifetime. So the final thoughts I'd like to leave you young people and parents with are this. Just as fuel can be an accelerant to fire, God's word can be an accelerant to a career.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Whatever you choose to do with your life, take God's word with you and pray silently, quietly, privately, and as often every chance you get. And watch how, without even noticing it, your vocation and career and spiritual life will mount up like eagles, and you'll sense yourself soaring. There's an old adage that says, just add water. Well, I'm telling you, just add God.
Yep.
I won't tell you that while serving, your own personal convictions will never be tested. Real quick, two incidences that came up during my career that rose to national and global prominence, news stories were that David Koresh and the Branch Davidians in Waco, Texas, and how the government elected to handle that situation.
Yep.
By bombing and burning the people out. And then the situation with the invasion of Iraq, where we went in looking for weapons of mass destruction and didn't find as much as a BB gun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yet thousands and thousands of lives lost, Americans and Iraqi, because we claimed to be worried about national security of our own country. And when I saw the now deceased former four-star general Colin Powell, who was at the time the Secretary of State under President George Bush, resigned. I knew then, I had 17 and a half years in at the time, but I knew then that come 20, when I reached my 20, I had to go.
Yep.
I didn't tell anyone in my chain of command, my feelings, or my intentions, but I knew that I just couldn't, with good conscience, continue to serve in a military that was being asked to do what we were doing. So once again, you young people, be active in your life. And whatever you decide to do with it, be your own advocate. David says in the scriptures that sometimes you just have to encourage yourself.
Yeah.
Former President Barack Obama tells his Democratic supporters when they start to boo, don't boo, vote.
Yeah.
And we just heard his wife Michelle Obama state a few weeks ago, don't complain, do something.
Do something.
Yeah. I told my own son a week or so ago, don't just continue to sit back and accept whatever life brings your way. Decide what it is that you want out of life and go after it. Uh-huh. Find some drive, some ambition, some fire, and some purpose, and then pursue it. And then you know what will happen? You'll find yourself many, many years from now shocked, just as I have at almost 65 years of age, as to how fast the years have flown by with children of your own and hopefully, prayerfully, passing on to them the guidance and the wisdom that has been shared with you today. I wish you guys had stayed up here because I was going to tell these young people. I want y'all to look at these faces that you saw lined up here early this morning, sitting here on these pews. Learn them, get to know them, do it quickly because life is so fleeting.
Yes, yes.
They and myself will only be around for a short while longer. So glean what you can from them, from me, from all of us while you can. And I promise you that every one of them will gladly share their own experiences and wisdom that they gained from the military. Living overseas is not as fretful as some think it is. So many other people in their cultures are friendly, polite, courteous, and helpful. Don't give in to all of the negative news media and falsehoods about the rest of the world being our enemies. I promise you they're not. And definitely keep this in mind. Hollywood does an incredible job with portraying the military sometimes. But Hollywood is focused on generating box office dollars. And with that said, they take many, many liberties regarding military life in order to embellish and put behinds in seats. There are hundreds and thousands of military-themed movies available to screen to try to get a realistic feel of the military life. But for something just a bit more realistic, some of these veterans seated here are a little bit older than me and can probably recommend other movies with older stars. But for me and my generation, here are just a few that I recommend you check out. An Officer and a Gentleman. It's from the 80s with Richard Gere, Louis Gossett Jr. and Richard Gere. Louis Gossett Jr. just passed a few weeks back, remember? It's about the rigors of trying to become a naval aviator. Few Good Men, starring Tom Cruise, Jack Nicholson, Demi Moore, the infighting between the Navy and the Marines. Top Gun, starring Tom Cruise. And know that the Air Force has its own annual Top Gun competition at Nellis Air Force Base in Las Vegas. It's an annual thing. It lasts for 6 weeks. I was selected to participate back in 1992. Excuse me. There's a movie called The Affair starring Courtney B. Vance. He's the husband of Angela Bassett. It's about the life of a black soldier deployed to England during World War II, and he gets caught up in an infidelity drama with the wife of a deployed British soldier. They eventually find out and they hang him, but it's a pretty good movie. A Soldier Story starring Howard Rollins and Denzel Washington about a soldier's murder in the Deep South. Glory, starring Denzel Washington and Morgan Freeman about the heroics of the Massachusetts 54th during the Civil War. And then lastly, one of my favorites, Fair Game, starring Sean Penn and Naomi Watts, about the gentleman who exposed the falsehoods of the U.S. invasion into Iraq. So thank you, thank you, thank you for listening and your time, and for your time this morning. I know that I went over my time limit a little bit, but I was once a young person with a lot of emotion and confusion going on in my head at the same time, trying to figure out life and what to do with mine. Hopefully, prayerfully, I've helped some young person this morning reach a decision. And with that, I now turn you back over into the hands of your pastor.